For our drive into northern Iraq, Dr. Azar Mirhan changed from his Western clothes into the traditional dress of a Kurdish Peshmerga warrior, a tight-fitting short woolen jacket over his shirt, baggy pantaloons, and a wide cummerbund. He also thought to bring along certain accessories. These included a combat knife that tucked neatly into the waist of his cummerbund, a loaded .45 automatic, and sniper binoculars. Should matters turn particularly ticklish, his M4 assault rifle lay within easy reach on the back seat, with extra magazines in the footwell. The doctor shrugged and said, "It's a bad neighborhood." Our destination that day in May 2015 was the place of Azar's greatest sorrow, one that haunted him still. The previous year, ISIS gunmen had cut a murderous swath through northern Iraq, brushing away an Iraqi army vastly greater in size, and then turned their attention to the Kurds. Azar had divined precisely where the ISIS killers were about to strike next, knew that tens of thousands of civilians stood helpless in their path, but had been unable to get anyone to heed his warnings. In desperation, he had loaded up his car with guns and raced to the scene, only to come to a spot in the road where he saw he was just hours too late. "It was obvious," Azar said, "so obvious, but no one wanted to listen." On that day, we were returning to the place where the fabled Kurdish warriors of northern Iraq had been outmaneuvered and put to flight, where Dr. Azar Mirhan had failed to avert a colossal tragedy, and where, for many more months to come, he would continue to battle ISIS. Azar is a practicing urologist, but even without the firepower and warrior getup, the 41-year-old would exude the aura of a hunter. He walks with a curious loping gait that produces little sound, and in conversation has a tendency to tuck in his chin and stare from beneath heavy-lidded eyes, rather as if he were sighting down a gun. With his prominent nose and jet-black pompadour, he bears a passing resemblance to a young Johnny Cash. The weaponry also complemented the doctor's personal philosophy, as expressed in a scene from one of his favorite movies, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, when a bathing Eli Wallach is caught off guard by a man seeking to kill him. Rather than immediately shoot Wallach, the would-be assassin goes into a triumphant soliloquy, allowing Wallach to kill him first. Azar quoted from the movie, "When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk. That is us Kurds now. This is not the time to talk, but to shoot." Azar is one of six people whose lives are chronicled in these pages. The six are from different regions, different cities, different tribes, different families, but they share, along with millions of other people in and from the Middle East, an experience of profound unraveling. Their lives have been forever altered by upheavals that began in 2003 with the American invasion of Iraq, and then accelerated with a series of revolutions and insurrections that have collectively become known in the West as the Arab Spring. They continue today with the depredations of ISIS, with terrorist attacks, and with failing states. For each of these six people, the upheavals were crystallized by a specific, singular event. For Azar Mirhan, it came on the road to Sinjar, when he saw that his worst fears had come true. For Leila Swaif in Egypt, it came when a young man separated from a sprinting mass of protesters to embrace her, and she thought she knew the revolution would succeed. For Majdi El-Mangoush in Libya, it came as he walked across a deadly no-man's land and, overwhelmed by a sudden euphoria, felt free for the first time in his life. For Kulod al-Zaidi in Iraq, it came when, with just a few menacing words from a former friend, she finally understood that everything she'd worked for was gone. For Majdi Ibrahim in Syria, it came when, watching an interrogator search his cell phone for the identity of his, quote, controller, he knew his own execution was drawing nearer by the moment. For Waqaz Hassan in Iraq, a young man with no apparent interest in politics or religion, it came on the day ISIS gunmen showed up in his village and offered him a choice. As disparate as these moments were, for each of these six people, they represented a crossing over, passage to a place from which there will never be a return. Such changes, of course, multiplied by millions of lives, are also transforming their homelands, the greater Middle East, and, by inevitable extension, the entire world. But for all the abruptness with which these changes occurred, they didn't come completely without warning. History is always a result of seemingly random currents and incidents, the significance of which can be determined, or more often disputed, only in hindsight. In trying to parse out what has happened in the Middle East, one can point to some clues that are very recent, others that are centuries old.